As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The Athletic presents Hogan Johns.
When you have games like this, you got to figure out, you got to soul search, and you got to be able to stop the bleeding. Obviously, the last 5 weeks has been extremely difficult. It's not fun because we all want to win.
Here's to the ones that we got. Cheers to the wish you were here, but you're not, because the drinks bring back all the memories of everything we've been through.
It's week 12 of the National Football League, and the Bears are stuck in a four-game losing streak. But thankfully, they've had 2 weeks to prepare. You gotta look good coming out of your bye week, right?
Deep drop here, looking downfield. Aggressive call and a shot into double coverage is intercepted.
That means everything got fixed, right?
Now it's 3rd and 17. It's another big rush from Gary. Trubisky lost the ball. It's scooped by Preston Smith, who takes it in for the Green Bay defensive touchdown.
I mean, they worked out all the kinks. The offense is good. Mitch is back.
3rd and 11. Pack bringing 5. Trubisky taking it deep into a lot of coverage. It is intercepted.
Oh, no! We suck again!
Here to go back over what really happened. The news and the notes of the game. Rehashing the trash. It's The Adams from NBC Sports Chicago. It's Adam Hope.
You look great. You look amazing. Your hair rocks.
And from The Athletic, it's Adam Johns.
What can I tell you? It's good to be the owner.
That's right, boy!
Unlike the Bears, these guys are winners. It's Hogan Johns.
All right. So, that was and continues to be an absolute disaster in Green Bay. It is so bad, Adam Johns, that for the first time in our podcast history, this was not planned, including if you're watching live on YouTube right now. We've never done this before. We didn't plan this before tonight. This Bears game has gotten so out of hand that for the first time, we are recording the podcast in the middle of the game and putting it on YouTube, because you might as well be listening to us. Hopefully, I mean, you can keep the game on, put it on mute, but listen.
3rd and 11. Trubisky in shotgun formation.
It's bad. And I believe, and again, we're doing this on the fly. So, you know, whether watching live or listening to the podcast later, this might sound a little different. Who cares? I can see your comments, though. It looks like as they're coming in on YouTube. So if you have some questions, and I know they're going to be about pink slips, I can see those already. We'll answer them as much as we can. But welcome in. Hogan Johns with you. If you're just clicking on a link and here for the first time, welcome in. This is the first time we've ever done this live. But we do the Hogan Johns podcast on The Athletic. Subscribe. You can listen to it anywhere you listen to podcasts. Subscribe to The Athletic as well. TheAthletic.com/HoganJohns is where you can do that. And you can read my post-game content as soon as we get done with this. We'll start writing that. I'll have that up at NBCSportsChicago.com as well. Johnsy stuff on The Athletic. Well, Johns, it is 41-10. It may get worse. We're still in the fourth quarter here between the Bears and Packers. And this was kind of the nightmare scenario, I think, coming out of a bye week, if you're Matt Nagy and if you're Ryan Pace.
An absolute pummeling that feels very, dare I say it, a Mark Trestman-like. Does it not? We saw something like this 6 years ago, 2014 in Green Bay. We were there that time.
Yeah. let's be clear. That was still worse. That's how bad that was. But
are you sure?
But this is bad too. I mean, they're both bad. It's kind of like comparing the quarterbacks at this point. Neither are good, and I don't know. This certainly opens the door. I mean, this opens the door, to major changes. Again, there's still 5 weeks. We'll see what happens. But let me say this right out of the gate, because I wrote this down. You know, the Jaguars fired their general manager today. And if I'm doing the count right, that's Jacksonville, Detroit, Atlanta, Houston. Am I missing anyone else?
That's it for right now, I believe.
That is 4 general manager jobs already open.
Houston was a twofer, don't forget.
So let me be clear. I'm not predicting yet that this is going to happen. Let's still feel this out. However, I do have to say, if Ted Phillips, George McCaskey, towards the top, starts to contemplate such changes following this game, there's already 4 teams out there looking at general managers, including one candidate in your own building, reportedly, with Champ Kelly. So the point is, you start to get in some competition there, and you don't want to fall too far behind if that's the road you're going to go down.
Well, if you fire the GM, you got to fire the coach too. Can we just be non-Bears in this situation? They did it to Jerry Angelo. They did it to Phil Emery. They made their new GMs keep the coach. If you're going to fire Ryan Pace, just fire everybody. Just get it all over with.
Well, you can give the new GM the choice of keeping the coach.
Okay, they didn't give them a choice.
No, that's what I'm saying. In the past, you're right. You're absolutely right. In the past, they said you have to keep the coach. You can't go about it that way. I totally agree with you there. Now, but if they want to say, hey, look, just right now, we're going to move on from the general manager. We're going to keep the head coach in place for the rest of the season. We'll evaluate the rest of this at the end of the year. That would be an okay way of doing it.
I would say this. I feel, and I was texting this to our friend, the Fishman, Kevin Fishman. I feel like it would be, I don't know if easier is the right word, but finding a GM candidate would seem easier if we're rating these situations than maybe finding the next head coach candidate, because I just think head coaches are just in such short supply, like qualified ones who can really invigorate an organization and really write a sinking ship, especially offensively, and just have everything going in the right sense. So, yeah, it's not ideal. Virginia McCaskey is in Green Bay right now watching this. I don't think she left. Do you think she left?
I mean, I would have.
Yeah.
I mean, get her in a car. Nice.
Get on 43.
Nice car. Get on. I've driven that. How many times have we driven that home after a night game? It is lonely. There are no lights. There's deer. And you want to watch out for the deer, I'd get a jump on it. Get back to Lake Forest as soon as possible.
Hit up the McDonald's in Manitowoc. Yeah, it's a problem. It's a problem. What was the story in 2014? Was it Wayne Larrivee, the broadcaster who stumbled across the Bears brass meeting in the press box, right? Because they're up there with this. The owner's box is kind of connected to that giant press box they have in beautiful Lambeau Field, right? He stumbled upon a meeting that was going on there, right? And like, and as the story goes, as the legend has it, that's where the Bears decided to fire not only Phil Emery, but also Mark Trestman. You almost happen to wonder if that car ride coming home from Green Bay, similar conversations are going to be had.
Well, and that's where I guess I argue, if you're going to do it, then do it. At least on the GM side of things. It gets back to what you were just saying. You know, just operate like an NFL franchise. We got a lot of comments. First of all, I love the comment. Who was it up here that said, please hold me, Hoag? You know, we're trying. That's what we're doing. This is why we're doing this for you in the middle of the game, okay? So hopefully this is some therapy and we can give you a reason to smile here. But I guess if we're going to have these types of conversations here while this game's still going on, like don't there have to be conversations about Ted Phillips too?
The ultimate conversation.
I mean, how many of these hirings do you have to go through before you change more? than just the GM and the head coach? It's a completely 100% fair question at this point.
Well, again, as the story has it, when the Bears were interested in Chris Ballard, he wanted an organizational structure change where he reported directly to the McCaskies. Again, as the story goes, as legend
has it. Wasn't it that he knew the skeletons in the closet or something like
that? Can't get up on a live YouTube video.
What I'm doing is I'm making the video better. I'm fixing lighting here.
Okay.
I don't know.
How's my lighting? I just
look at that.
The blue thing.
Professional stuff here.
Yeah. Your Azigi and jersey in the background. That's a very nuanced conversation. That's one that Chris Ballard wanted to entertain and got nowhere. That's why he is the GM of the Indianapolis Colts right now, not the Chicago Bears.
You had to bring that up, didn't you?
Well, the Colts got pummeled today, too. So maybe
did,
that makes people feel a little bit better.
They did, but you know what Chris Ballard did right away? He rebuilt one of the worst offensive lines in football, and he did it quickly. And that's still a theme here. I guess, look, those are conversations that are going to have to be had. You have a game like this, everything's on the table, right? And we're bringing up history here. We're bringing up things that have really happened, coming off a bye, getting pummeled in Green Bay. That stuff does matter.
We missed a touchdown.
I think Mitch threw a touchdown to Allen Robinson based on tweets I'm seeing. So we should probably do a better job of actually following the game while we do this. But does it really matter?
No, it doesn't matter.
Let's be honest.
It doesn't matter.
We might as well talk about the game, too. I mean, what were your first impressions coming out of the gate? Because I'll tell you this. The one similarity to me, more than anything, in terms of the play on the field, if we're going to compare this to the 2014 game in Green Bay, the defense just...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Looking bad early and then... laying down. I mean, Tony Dungy said it on the broadcast tonight.
They quit.
This is a team
they
quitting.
Quit. Yeah, they quit, which is not a good look for Matt Nagy. Just the defense looked awful, like to begin with. Three-man rushes. Danny Trevathan caught in coverage and Davante Adams. That's on Chuck Pagano. Like something's like we've been harsh, I feel like more so than others on Pagano and his defense. And, you know, I don't think we've given the offense a pass by any means, but to see what Aaron Rodgers did today, and yeah, he is Aaron Rodgers, but it's just off. Bad day, awful day. And yes, I do think they quit as this game went on. That Robert Tonyan touchdown from the third quarter, another bad third quarter from the Bears. But yeah, they laid down today. Absolutely they did.
The irony is that the offense is actually like solving some problems. I mean, look, Trubisky's still a problem. Here's the thing. This is actually what we've been trying to tell you here. Like, no one here has been telling you that Trubisky is anything that he's not, but we have been telling you that the offense works better with him. And you're seeing both of those things play out tonight. I mean, Trubisky's made some bad mistakes. They've tried to take shots when they shouldn't. I don't know why they're running zone read with him because he's never been able to do that. So some of the problems are still all there. But hey, look, they're going to Allen Robinson in the red zone. He has two touchdowns. It was a 6-yard pass from Mitch Trubisky and the last one that made it 41-17. So, okay, they're giving A-Rob some red zone targets. Mitch is making some plays with his leg. He's still not the solution. We understand that. But the offense is better tonight. There's no denying that.
Yeah, the irony is that the run game is actually running the ball. It was functioning. David Montgomery had the longest run of his career. But how Bears was it that you had two drop passes, right? Let's call Anna Robinson's 50-50 ball drop. Like
if he
wants to be paid like the number one wide receiver, you got to catch the ball. It happens across the league every single week. Jump ball catches are made like that. You got to catch the ball. So my early thoughts were, wow, look at the run game. Wow, you got to catch that Cole Kmet. Wow, you really got to catch that Allen Robinson. And then, yes, the defense. Like, it was baffling at first. You know, like, I wasn't surprised by the first drive. We've seen Aaron Rodgers open games like that before. But then the drive after that, and the drive after that, they just really took it to the Bears. They were out-coached, out-manned, out-gunned, everything outed in this game today.
Yeah, and... look, I we're seeing comments right away. I we get it. Trubisky was not good tonight. No one's saying that Trubisky was good. What we're saying is that these can be true at the same time. Quarterback can still be a problem, but the offense can work better with Trubisky. That's all we're saying. And that's actually unfolding in front of our eyes. The problem is, and we can go back to the defense, you know, the first drive of the game, maybe it's like handoff up the middle, and you're going, okay, they miss Akeem Hicks.
Yeah.
It went so far beyond Akeem Hicks so fast. I mean, Aaron Rodgers was just picking on Buster Skrine, picking on Danny Trevathan. I mean, why Danny Trevathan would ever be in coverage against Davante Adams, who the heck knows? But you're going to let Aaron Rodgers diagnose that? He's going to do that. I mean, he looked like a surgeon.
He's still taking shots on the Bears right now. Did you see that?
Yeah, he just went deep to Davante.
Yes.
Which, actually, if I'm doing this same like show in Green Bay right now, I'm going, why are they still in the game?
Yeah, stop. That horse is dead, Aaron.
especially Davante. I mean, he's such a key to the offense. Yeah. Hey, look, I wrote this after the bye week. Regardless of who the GM head coach is, I mean, this is a team that has to start making some really tough decisions. If they do make changes, you're inheriting a tough situation with the cap probably going down. I don't know what you do with Allen Robinson. I made the case a couple weeks ago that you need to trade Kyle Fuller, which hurts. Kyle Fuller's great. He's actually been one of the guys tonight. I appreciate his edge and the tackling. I don't know that he's been one to quit tonight, but you got to get draft capital from somewhere. You can't just solve this with a mid-round, first-round pick. If you can get a first-round pick for any of these guys, I think you got to start looking at that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that may be for the next GM to decide how much of a rebuild teardown he wants to have, because we know Ryan Pace operated with that mindset. Goodbye, Martellus Bennett. Goodbye, Brandon Marshall. Like, he made some tough decisions with some talented players. But again, it's not working here for the Bears. And whoever takes over the Bears, even if it's Ryan Pace, say he gets another opportunity at this, you have a lot of money tied up in some old, unproductive players. That Robert Quinn contract is not good. Look, you can free up cap space. You can extend Kyle Fuller. You can extend Akeem Hicks. But again, those aren't young core. Well, they're core players, but you know what I'm getting at? Like, the aging players keep getting paid on this roster. And as it shows, you're not going anywhere until you fix what's going on in the offense. It may be a moot point right now, but I wrote a column a couple weeks ago, just like, how much should the Bears brass? Like, where's their trust level with Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy? Because you know they're going to want to take another swing at this quarterback. Like, if they're coming to the table, like, presenting their case to stay, we need to get our next quarterback. Do you trust them to make that call?
I don't know. I mean, this is where you just can't deny the track record. I mean, you go back to Mike Glennon. Boy, I did not envision myself watching Mike Glennon playing football today, but I did. He's on Red Zone. He's starting for the Jaguars today. But you go back to Mike Glennon, that didn't work. The Trubisky pick, that didn't work. I mean, Foles, the thing about the Foles trade is that falls on both of them.
That's Nagy swing. Leans towards more Nagy and his
agreed
staff. That's his swing to get this right.
And that's where that's got to give you a little bit of doubt. Although I would say, I think everybody knew why they made that move and what the results were most likely going to be. So I don't think
anybody expected this bad, though. Maybe not.
That's because everybody thought there was more around him, and there wasn't.
No, that's true. That's true. A lot of shortcomings at offense.
Offensive line stuff goes, to me, back more on Pace.
Yes, it does.
Although it's not like it's improved much since Nagy got
But at the same time, you know, they were hand-in-hand in their offseason decisions. Juan Castillo could be our fix here. Harry Haystand, goodbye. Thanks for coming.
That's true.
Mark Helfrich, goodbye. Thanks for coming. Harry Haystand and Bill Lazor are going to fix this run game. We got enough here. We like James Daniels. We like Cody White here. Jermaine Effetti, come on down. It wasn't enough. Coaching did not fix this team.
Did you see what a job by NBC tonight? And I'm not just saying that because they're my employer. The triple box with Ryan Pace, Mitchell Trubisky in the middle, and Matt Nagy. Even with the masks on, you get the shot of Pace just sitting up there in the box shaking his head.
So let me ask you. Not wrong answers only. Let's get in the mind a little bit there. Like, Ryan Pace is shaking his head and was captured on the broadcast, right? Mm-hmm. Great job by NBC. What do you think he's thinking? Like, what's going on in his mind at that moment? Like, what's your best guess on what's going through his mind at that moment?
Well, I'm trying to think of when that was. Because there was a shot of him shaking his head after the touchdown, actually. After Mitch's the first touchdown. But it was almost it was almost like, I think, what Bears fans have been thinking, too. Even when they score touchdowns, it's never easy.
Like,
they had to get the PI call to even get in there. And then, even then, Mitch had a guy in his face. He had to throw it sidearm around to a wide-open Allen Robinson. Like, nothing about it was easy. And maybe that's just what he was thinking. Like, my God, why can't it just be easy?
Like, finally. What the F? Trying not to swear because we're live and there could be... most children should be in bed.
Don't just ride the index. Seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Let's see, any questions here? A lot of them are just angry comments. I get it. You know, one thing I started thinking about in the middle of this game, though, is who do you even go after? I'll tell you one name I like off the top of my head. Lewis Riddick.
Explain.
Well, I think he's proven himself to be very, very smart if you listen to him. Although it should be pointed out that he was somebody that was in Mitch Trubisky's corner too.
Yeah.
Early on. Well,
I think there are a lot of people back in Mitch Trubisky's corner back in the day, though. A few years later, things have changed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Then that sometimes happens. I mean, you know.
I'll say this. If I'm the Bears' brass, I want to hear the most articulate explanation for fixing this offense and modernizing this offense. Matt Nagy gave that. Mark Trestman gave that. So now you actually have like this, these two reference points, right? Mm-hmm. Like you've gone through two hiring processes where you went offense and offense after having Lovie Smith, who was your defensive-minded head coach, right? So you have like reference points for, you know, like how we're going to fix this offense. And it's got to be everything. Look, a good defense is great. Chicago loves a great defense. But this offensive line starts there. That needs to be fixed. Quarterback, too. Like, quarterback, offensive line. Like, you need to articulate this. And the Bears actually, again, have that, don't call it data, but they got those reference points now. Oh, that, you know, Mark Trestman said something similar. I don't know if I like that. You know, Matt Nagy said that, you know, a couple of years ago as well. You know, like, let's have a plan here and see if they can put it in place.
It's a little different though, because you know the thing about Mark Trestman that we sometimes lose because it was such a disaster is that they actually did have an offense. It
just
got so bad on defense so quickly that was the problem. I mean,
that offense stunk in its second year. And let's be honest, that may have been like the best Bears offense we've seen in the past 25 years, but it still wasn't that good.
Well, I mean, the whole thing got away. I guess what I'm saying is the difference here under Nagy is that, well, really until tonight, the defense had stayed in place. The defense, and Ryan Pace deserves credit for that. I mean, if we're going to be fair on both sides of this, he did rebuild an absolutely atrocious defense and get them back to a level that was definitely good enough to win a Super Bowl. But in this case, like, the offense just has not held up at all. And let me get back to more specific. I think we sometimes get too much into modernizing the offense. If we're really going to get specific, you mentioned the offensive line. And I would apply that to both sides of the ball. Like, wherever this goes in the future of the Bears, whoever's the GM, whoever's the head coach, this is Chicago. You play physical football. And we've heard that, like, sort of secondhand about Matt Nagy's teams. Remember when Chris Long, or was it Kyle? Kyle said it early in this past offseason. He said, you know, back in 2018, he asked his brother, Chris, who was on the Eagles, Chris, if we had beaten you, do you think we could have won the Super Bowl? And his answer was no, you guys weren't physical enough. And we've heard that. I've heard that sort of casually mentioned sometimes from national analysts that say, oh, yeah, you know, I was talking to this coach and they just don't think that the Bears are physical enough. That's an area, like, you almost got to think like Tennessee right now.
Yeah.
The problem, though, with thinking that, like, the way Tennessee's playing offense, I don't know, is that still a Super Bowl team, though? Like, even though they did what they did today against the Colts?
Well, you need your defense to be a little bit more stout than what they have going right now, because their defense isn't that good. Well, let me just further my point. How often have we heard Matt Nagy talk about searching for an identity on offense, right?
Yeah.
Or how about Mark Trestman at some point would be grasping for that identity? Don't forget that conversation. That storyline emerged under Mark Trestman too, especially in his second year. We're looking for that identity. Matt Nagy said it for 2.5 years now. We're looking for that identity. I want to hear someone articulate what they think that identity should be from the start. You know, I don't know if the more you get more information on it, like, is every game is played by this, you know, Bears offense? I don't know if they ever knew what they wanted to be. And it starts up top. You know, it is the general manager. It is the offensive coordinator who is the head coach of Matt Nagy. It just seems to be. I just don't like that you're trying to figure out what you want to be. I think you should have that in mind and build around this identity that you want to be, like, have like some core principles offensively. Maybe that is just starting off up front and like building the most, you know, powerful offensive line that you can. But you know what I'm getting at?
I do. But you know what's so funny? Every time we have these conversations, I totally agree with you. Like, you do have to articulate that right away. And I'd like to see them rebuild the offensive line and be more physical up front. Okay. And I think a lot of Bears fans would like to see that. But it still comes back to having a quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, I saw some exchange on Twitter today. I forget where it was, but someone tweeted something like, I can't even imagine what it's like to be a Chiefs fan right now. And I clicked on the tweet, and the first response was from a Chiefs fan who said, you know what? It was miserable. Miserable. And then we got Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
And, like, that's what Bears fans...
The Bears would take Alex Smith.
But this is what Bears fans are, like, dealing with right now. And
didn't Elvis Gerback have, like, an amazing year for the Chiefs? Wasn't Joe Montana there for a couple of years?
But they could never get over the hump. Like, didn't they win like a, did they have like a 15-win season 1 year, 14-win, something like that, and they lost in the first round or something like that. Like, then they got Patrick Mahomes, and that's why Bears fans are so upset right now, because they could have had Patrick Mahomes. And I feel very confident saying Matt Nagy's offense would work if you had Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, yeah. Quarterback does cover up all the warts. Well, he'd be, yes. Although you're missing certain playmakers too, Tyreek Hill. But, you know, certain quarterbacks can turn a Robert Tonyan into a touchdown machine.
Yeah.
You know, undrafted free agents come out of nowhere sometimes for the Green Bay Packers, and that starts with the quarterback.
We just get kind of caught up in these modernized offenses. Like, hey, let's get the hot. And you know what? Honestly, right now, the only coach that I would say is consistently scheming sort of at a modern... I think Kyle Shanahan's doing it, clearly, with the 49ers.
Because the run game there. There's some throwback principles there. They go back to his father.
Exactly. It's different. Like, there's old school football mixed in there, and it's a lot of different stuff. And then I think Sean McVay's doing it, because I don't think Jared Goff's an elite quarterback, but he's good enough with what... So those two coaches are doing. But like Matt LaFleur, yeah, he's doing a good job, but he's Aaron Rodgers. Come on. What Aaron Rodgers was doing in the first quarter, specifically tonight, picking apart that Bears defense like a surgeon, man, that was him. That was him at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, it's still, you know, I would still say the Packers scheme out scheme, what Chuck Pagano was drawing up, you know, with his three-man rushes and whatnot. I just think what we learned from Trestman and what we've learned from Nagy, that there needs to be some type of I know we all heard it from Pace and Nagy and Trestman and Emery, but, you know, you hope the Bears brass beyond Ted Phillips and George McCaskey. Like, I hope you have, like, notes, like, lots and lots of notes. And, you know, some of the things that you didn't like, I feel like you should go back to those. Like, the questions you may have had about Matt Nagy, the questions you may have had about Mark Trestman, Bill Emery, and Ryan Pace. You know, I know you eventually hired those guys, but I'm sure there were questions. Like, go back to those and focus on those if you do happen to clean house.
Well, let's get back to the magnitude of tonight, because I think it's worth talking about. You know, I wrote it my 10 Bears things earlier this week. What a loss. And I was just talking about loss. Like, they could have lost by 1 point, and it would have meant you've lost 5 games in a row. And it would have been, what, now 1-5, 1-4? I'm forgetting whatever the record is against the Packers for Matt Nagy. It's not good. They've only won 1 game, and it came against Joe Philbin, when he was the interim head coach when Mike McCarthy got fired. So that would have just been a 1 point loss. What we're talking about is a blowout, a game in which your defense didn't give you a chance. The analyst, Tony Dungy, one of the most respected voices in football, straight up says your defense quit. And shots of Virginia McCaskey at the game, Ryan Pace shaking his head. The optics are bad. It is fair to compare it to 2014. So when you add all that up, it feels like... And then you actually have to consider Ryan Pace's contract situation, too. Because he's going into...
He's got one more year left in his deal. Matt Nagy has, too.
So, especially on the GM side of things... You rarely see coaches or general managers go into the final year of their deal without either an extension or being let go. That's just sort of the reality of the business. Every once in a while it happens, but not a lot. And you certainly can't extend them right now. Or Bears fans will just lose their minds. So I guess it's just not looking good right now.
How about my hypothetical going back to our last podcast or two podcasts ago? Like, we all thought this could be a possibility tonight. But your other games coming up are against the Lions, and you're a favorite in that one. They just fired their coach and GM. You got the Jaguars coming up. They fired their GM. You got the Texans coming up. They fired their coach and GM. You know, like... And then you got the Vikings, who are hot in your heels right now, or are now about to have the same record as you. Like, what do you need to see? Like, is there anything redeeming about these next 4 games that could possibly be, that could possibly come to fruition for the Bears?
Well, and that's why it was such a good hypothetical you brought.
First of all, how crazy is that? That you're about to face 3 teams over your next 4 games with major structural changes that took place this season.
Yeah. Although I would say I don't feel great about their chances again in Minnesota in a couple weeks.
No.
But the Vikings have been so up and down, it's possible.
Don't know.
You don't know. And you saw last year, once they managed to stop the skid, they were competitive in a couple of games against teams that weren't great, like the Cowboys and the Lions. But you're right. I mean, they face a Lions team next week that looks... I mean, they just fired their head coach and general manager.
Looks dead in the water.
Yeah. So it's a possible win. It's at home. Quite frankly, it should be a win. I know the look-ahead line said the Bears were favored, and I don't necessarily think that changes just because of this outcome right here. So... But even in your hypothetical, what was so interesting was it still ended with a loss to the Packers, yep, with a potential playoff berth on the line. And it all the things we just talked about, Pace's contract situation, the quarterback track record, having who are you going to put in charge of making these massive decisions in the offseason? And now we have the added context of this disaster in Green Bay tonight. Although the Bears are right now screaming for a backdoor cover. It's 41-25 now.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Things that could be redeeming. I don't know what it could be. For a while, I thought the randomness and craziness of this season would give a lot of teams pause, because playing a year during a pandemic where practices are different, schedules are different, training camp was different, like that changes things, right? Like that affects a team. Like seriously affects a team. But this is bad. This is real bad. And some of those teams didn't pause. Like the Lions have seen enough. Texans saw enough. Jaguars, well, I think a lot of us saw enough of Dave Caldwell a couple of years ago, but he was still gainfully employed up until today. It's just, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, John, so I just went through that with the White Sox, and I remember, you know, after, because they flamed out at the end of the season this year, I remember saying, because it wasn't clear whether or not they were going to change managers, and I remember saying on the post-game show after they lost that, what you said. I mean, let's not lose sight of the pandemic, and thought Ricky Renteria did a lot of good things to keep the team safe, and they really didn't have any cases once the season started, blah, blah, blah. They fired him anyway. You know, so it doesn't seem like a trend in sports right now, is really in any league from what I've seen, is to give a coach or general manager the benefit of the doubt because of the pandemic.
It's still, God, we keep quoting John Fox. That's when you know it's bad, is when we keep going back to gimmicky John Fox quotes, you know, where it's all a problem and it's a production-based business. That was his quote, right?
Production-based business.
Results-based business. I forget. Yeah. But
no, that's what he said.
He has one like that, and it's just, and here we go. Packers are grinding it out. It's I think you've seen enough of the Bears offense under Matt Nagy to have serious doubts what it could be, regardless of even who's at quarterback. You know, Patrick Mahomes, those guys don't grow on trees. You know, like, who are you going to draft being in the middle of the first round that's who's going to become something like that instantaneously? Because Patrick Mahomes didn't even come to fruition that fast.
Yeah, I mean, that's the tough reality, is that Mahomes is like a once-in-a-decade type of guy in the draft anyway. And then I guess what makes it even worse is, you know, I'm glad I thought of this, because you mentioned the Texans. You know, the Texans are actually playing decent right now, and they have a good offense, and they have Deshaun Watson. So what happens when Deshaun Watson comes to Soldier Field and scores a touchdown and goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I'm losing fingers here because I'm holding my microphone, but gets up to 12. Just like Patrick Mahomes did last year with 10. Watson does it with 12.
Yeah, Mahomes had it easy. Yeah.
I'm just saying the optics can get worse.
Yes. Yes. Well, Mahomes or Watson, as we've seen at least in a couple games this year, can still raise the level of his team. That's not a great team. That is an awful defense the Texans have, but you know, it's not the icing on the cake. That's like more dirt on the cake, you know, for the Bears this season. It's just some more fuel for the fire.
I will circle back to something because I think we're getting a couple questions from people who weren't here off the top. For those listening live, and apologies, I guess, to those who are listening to the podcast and may have already heard this, but basically the conversation of would the Bears make a move as soon as tomorrow? And look, that is not the track record.
No.
With the Bears. But I said this off the top. That's why I want to circle back. I personally just can't ignore the fact that right now we've already seen the Falcons, the Texans, the Jaguars today fired their general manager, and then the Lions obviously fired their head coach and general manager yesterday. That's four jobs, that general manager jobs that are already open, that guys are doing their homework, that you know are in the search process. Now, you can start a search process before you do that. That certainly happens a lot in sports. But I you also said something that was interesting early on in this thing too, John. It's like, when do the Bears operate like an NFL franchise? And you're seeing it across the league right now. The Jaguars and Lions. Now, you could also argue that a lot of these are the same teams. The Falcons had guys in place for a long time, but a lot of these are the same teams that are constantly recycling guys every few years as it is, and you don't want to become that. You don't want to become the Browns where you have a new head coach, three head coaches in 3 years. But I guess you keep taking swings because you can't just stick with the status quo either.
No. Again, there's enough statistical evidence that, you know, sometimes this is just not a pandemic problem. The offense was bad last year. You can look at 2018. You can poke holes in everything they did that was good for that offense. Those are personnel decisions. Those are coaching decisions. Those are play call decisions. Those are on-the-field quarterback decisions. There's a lot of things that Bears ownership already has at its disposal to evaluate where, one, I don't know what's going to change over the next 5 weeks. And two, do you really need to give them a pass on the pandemic? And I at least with the latter, I would say no. I would say you already know enough about this offense to know it's stuck in the mud and never getting out of it.
And by the way, the game is over now. It's a final. Bears lose 41-25. It really wasn't even that close as the Bears added a couple touchdowns in garbage time. And we have some work to do. But I will leave on this note, if changes are on the way, I don't know how you can ignore the people that are doing the hiring, because you had a chance to get Chris Ballard and you decided not to go down that road. So I'm just, if you're going to go through this again, I don't know how that can't be evaluated or looked at. And those reasons are all well documented why they went the way they did. But I know the Colts had a bad loss today, but he's in Indianapolis and overall has done a really good job there, in my opinion. So
sometimes you have to be bold. Yep. You have to do things that you probably don't really want to do.
But and the reason I bring that up, and you brought this up earlier, Johns, is they didn't go with Ballard because he wanted to restructure things. And the Bears didn't want to do that. They like their structure. They want to keep things the same way. And you know what? The reality is Ryan Pace has actually brought a lot of new things to this franchise that don't get talked about and fans even pay attention to.
Yeah, Ted Phillips does give him a lot of freedom. We should say that. Like, I mean,
doubled House Hall.
Yeah.
I mean, Ryan Pace basically was given the freedom to do a lot of things. And he did a lot of things behind the scenes that are going to help the Bears, I think, even in the future. Like expanding the football operations, hiring new people, getting more into nutrition and science and all that, getting better, way better facilities. But it still comes down to wins and losses, like you said with John Fox, production-based business. So
it still comes down to that quarterback position.
And that too.
The long-standing problem for this Bears franchise.
Absolutely.
Bears have taken their swings and missed.
Well, the game's over. We got to go have these press conferences and write and do a bunch of things. So please follow us on Twitter if you don't already, at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E. That's me, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. That's him. And we appreciate our producer, Kent Garrison, for setting all this up on short notice and flying with us. That was awesome. Great job by him. Please read us, too. On the Johns is on The Athletic, theathletic.com/HoganJohns. If you're not a subscriber, you can go there right now, get a great deal. And my stuff is on NBCSportsChicago.com, so we'll have all that up later in the night as well. If you're new here, you just clicked on the link because you saw it on Twitter during the game. Our podcast 3 days a week. There's plenty more of this. Whatever happens down the road this season, we'll be covering it. So go subscribe to the Hogan Johns podcast. If you're new here, we appreciate you. Hope you enjoyed it.
$1 a month at The Athletic.
There you go. There you go. I don't know if we're going to do this in the future. I have no idea. This is partly due to the pandemic that we're even able to do it, because otherwise we would have been at Lambeau. But we appreciate everybody watching, because I know there's a ton of people watching here on short notice. We enjoyed doing it. Hopefully it helps you get through the fourth quarter, because this was a painful night for the Chicago Bears, and we'll see what happens here going forward. We'll be back Tuesday with the fallout of all this. We'll talk to you then.
See ya.
Y'all stay corona free, all right? And God bless.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.